On this episode, I am joined by one of our analytics specialists to talk about data centralization and more specifically the power of a platform like BigQuery and a drastic transformation that one of our clients experienced. Another episode of Eye on Digital Marketing presented by More Visibility. This is a podcast by digital marketers for digital marketers. My guest today is Harrison Matika, Senior Analytics Specialist. Harrison, nice to talk to you in person as we're all in the office today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chuck. How about you?
Good, good. It was a nice trip in. Glad to be back here in Boca Raton for a little bit. We have some events here for the agency today that should be fun. But right here, right now, we wanted to kind of get together and have a conversation about, you know, what's going on in the analytics world. And you and I spoke a little bit about BigQuery. So wanted to dive into that today and give the listeners some more information about what you called data centralization, which we'll hop into. But just at a high level, Harrison, to start off, can you give us a refresher about what BigQuery is and maybe how we use it a little bit?
Yeah, so BigQuery is Google Cloud's data warehouse. And basically, most people tend to mix up like data warehouses with other types of relational databases, like something like Google has as a SQL Cloud or MySQL databases, which it really is not that. A data warehouse is basically something that's more designed to handle repetitious data, non-normalized data, and it's meant more so for the purpose of analyzing data rather than the purpose of basically inputting and grabbing different transactions.
So if I had like, visually speaking out there for the people like me, if I had like a warehouse and I had like everything in my life I put into this warehouse, then you're saying data centralization is having a platform that's able to take everything in my life, or in this case, data, and combine it into whatever spider web we want to give you output that you wouldn't be able to get elsewhere. Is that kind of like a high level accurate overview? Like,
yes, I would absolutely say that. I mean, the biggest problem with most industries today is that their data they have a lot of data, but their data tends to be siloed among different departments.
Right.
And due to that, there's just a lack of ability to share this data. There's always trouble with things like user access, and it basically causes the inability to create opportunities for themselves, because maybe some pieces of data are on a more advanced analytics platform like maybe Looker or BigQuery or something like that, and some are literally just on a Excel spreadsheet. So we were just working with a client the other week where they had an Excel spreadsheet that took an entire hour to open. And
that's okay, time out. That's insane to me. An hour to open this spreadsheet.
Yes.
And how large was that? I've never even heard of that. That's insane.
That was probably, I'm trying to think, that was probably a 500 megabyte spreadsheet. Jeez. Or something like that, which in BigQuery terms, that's nothing. That it, like,
right,
BigQuery is designed to handle petabytes of data.
That's grains of sand on the beach for BigQuery.
Exactly.
But if you have any Excel files out there that take an hour to open, maybe that should be a sign that, you know, you need to be using a platform like BigQuery. No, like, that's a lot of data.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, and on top of that, by being able to upload into BigQuery, you're able to kind of create a lot of automation and machine learning based opportunities for yourself. Like with that client, for instance, when we were able to move that data over into BigQuery, they had a lot of calculations that they were making in order to create these reports. And these calculations for these reports were created, probably it took them about a week to create, so 40 hours. And we were able to leverage the automation capabilities available in Google Cloud to lower that amount of time from 40 hours to 3 minutes just by, and basically all they need to do at this point is just upload is basically just upload a spreadsheet into cloud storage, and automatically something will generate for them.
Yeah, that's such a drastic difference that whoever was doing that before has to be like, what do I do with my week now? 40 hours is an entire work week mm-hmm. that it would take this person or team that we were working with to, you know, use and upload that Excel sheet, and you got it down to 3 minutes. That's a crazy disparity there. I guess another thing that you mentioned, and I want to be clear too, because we've had other podcast episodes and we had people from your team like Sergey come on and talk about data archiving, which was great. But this is a little bit different than data archiving, where I believe you said before we kind of started recording, data archiving is simply just making sure that your historical data is somewhere, right? And you can pull it. Data centralization or using a data warehouse sounds more like a living live environment of everything that you have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could really load it in two separate ways. You can of course maybe build a system for yourself where you're batch uploading your data from a certain location on a daily basis. Oh, wow. Or you could if you have some pretty skilled programmers that are willing to leverage the, Google Cloud's data pipeline services, you could build streaming data that can essentially move that data straight to BigQuery yeah. as soon as it's created, within seconds.
And so let's get into that a little bit, because you mentioned moving it over, I think is the term you use. So we had this huge Excel spreadsheet that would take an hour to open, an entire work week to handle. We got that down to 3 minutes uploading it into BigQuery. Is it that simple to move large files that people may be using over? How does that transition period work? How did you all assess that, you know?
Yeah, so we had to look at a few things regarding that. At first, and I'm just trying to be careful as I say this, because
we
don't quite have the legal A-okay with this. But
so everybody knows, we have NDAs here, obviously, with our clients, and we're very protective. We take that very seriously. So we'd love to give you all client examples, but we also, as Harrison pointed out, want to be careful about what we say and who we say.
Yeah, but I mean, just on a high-level basis, we were at first kind of considering whether to use the code to pull from an API this particular data and basically run this code through a product in Google Cloud called Cloud Scheduler. And this Cloud Scheduler would trigger something that's called a function where that code would live.
And that code would
grab that information. We weren't really able to do this just because there was much more data that was going on than just that particular API. There was some self-created data by the client that we would have to kind of combine together.
Yeah.
And so basically, we determined that probably the best course of action would be for them to download that data into the spreadsheet, into a CSV file,
yeah,
and just upload it into cloud storage. And thankfully, like Cloud Functions is able to kind of activate upon the upload of a storage file. And obviously, I won't walk you through everything that goes on in the code here, but essentially that creates a chain reaction where one function triggers another function, which does the calculations.
I see.
All that stuff.
And BigQuery itself, is that or is that not a Google product, so people are clear?
Oh, it's absolutely a Google product.
Okay.
Yes.
And because you mentioned the Cloud Scheduler, so basically you're taking all of the tools at our disposal. Most of them sound like they're Google products, but they don't necessarily have to be all the time. I know that we've, you know, used other tools. And the Cloud Scheduler is basically, you know, this great API tool, as you described, that based on the triggers, right, it will just automatically import the data when you need to. And the example you mentioned was just on an upload. So every time you're uploading it, it knows to just grab it and take it in. Is that accurate?
Not quite. I mean, it's Cloud Scheduler, you can basically use that to connect to a particular Google product, PubSub, and basically you can utilize that as the trigger.
You can
use Cloud Scheduler for multiple different purposes. So, like, if you want to schedule a query on BigQuery to run, you can take advantage of Cloud Scheduler for that. You could, but basically that is the purpose of that. I mean, and the main use case for this automation project was Cloud Functions, mm-hmm. Which is basically, it's known widely in cloud as serverless computing, which
it, serverless computing. Okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of a, it's sort of a misnomer because it's actually not serverless. It's not like there's no servers.
I was going to say, where does it live or what's happening there? Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah. What it means is that it's just, it's only running as needed.
Okay.
So it's technically being bounced around among multiple different servers as multiple cloud functions are kind of running at once. And as it's kind of bouncing around those servers, since it doesn't live in one server, hence why it's serverless.
Okay.
So, but it bounces around, and then at one point when it's ready to run, just due to a triggering,
I see,
it gets going.
So I don't necessarily own a car, but I can go to Enterprise whenever I want in any city and grab a car when I need.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. So this, how cumbersome or how long, or maybe it's completely custom based on the client and what they want to do, but like, what you described to me in this client example and what they were working with versus what you all figured out for them to do, you took a lot of time away. We talked about 40 hours a week down to a couple minutes. But how long does that strategy take to, you know, look at what a client is doing and then figure out the right path? Because there has to be different paths and different tools for everybody, right? So I would imagine that's a pretty strategic process that you all have to go through and meet on and say, okay, here's where we want to go.
Yeah.
What does that path look like? Is that a long time, short time? Does it vary?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely varies and it depends on what exactly you're looking at here.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about this particular client, we were able to do this in a 30-hour timetable, which is obviously less than the time it would take for their project to get together. And now, you know, so now they never have to do that again. So there is that component to it. Obviously, data centralization, grabbing your entire data across your entire organization, sticking it in one place, figuring out an entire system for these and user accesses for these, and of course, not to mention proper security for these, that's at least a couple years in most cases.
Yeah.
Just for that, just to reach that particular nirvana of data centralization, but it's a process. It's definitely not a sprint. There's definitely going to be several markers available that you'll definitely need to hit before you get there.
Yeah.
The nice thing about it with digital marketing, though, is that Google provides you a lot of different ways that you can grab your data and centralize that into BigQuery very easily. Like Google Ads, YouTube data, data from Meta, GA4, Search Console, all of those have built-in pipelines directly to BigQuery. And that allows for just extraordinarily easy access to it. And not to mention, I think you talked with Theo about this, about Salesforce data too.
Yeah.
Now there's a complete Salesforce pipeline. Usually that's a very, very big challenge for most people in terms of being able to integrate their CRM data within those data warehouses.
Yeah, that's interesting. And has there ever been a case that you've seen so far where a client had data on a channel or somewhere else that maybe wasn't easy to integrate or didn't have a connector? And what do you do there?
Yeah, I mean, if... Let's see.
Because I imagine people who listen to this, if they are relating right now, I'd say you're talking about large organizations that have probably been doing things for a very long time, been using platforms for a very long time. And it's hard to... The projects that we're talking about, you know, this podcast is going to be 15, 20 minutes long. But what you and the team does is a very strategic, you know, long-term, I would say... Maybe solution isn't the right word, but it's an advancement of how you use your data and where it lives. And that's a big thing for a lot of organizations that have been doing it one way and have had a team for a long time. So like, have you come across an example where you're like, all right, we're going to have to get a little creative, or I've never seen that platform doesn't necessarily have a universal connector. Like how many bumps are in the road or could be here?
Yeah, I mean, there could be several bumps in the road because, of course, not every service will have a direct connection to BigQuery or some other cloud service if you're using Amazon or Azure or something like that.
Right.
Usually, the next course of action would be to see if there's an API available. Usually, if that, it most in most cases, if you're collecting data from somewhere, chances are there's an API available for it.
Right.
That's just kind of built into the service, to most services at this point.
Yeah.
So that's usually in those cases you would build some sort of a pipeline related to that in order to kind of get that data in.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the first step. Obviously, at that point, if there's no API or anything like that, there would need to be some manual aspects to the process, probably.
Yeah.
But the idea of automation is to minimize that
sure.
amount. And hopefully over time, maybe you could switch to a new system that does have that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like being able to kick it off, yeah, I mean, there would probably be some manual component to it.
And AI, you know, artificial intelligence is such a hot topic. I've said mm-hmm. for a long time on the podcast that I think your team and analytics teams in general have had a much more forward-facing kind of relationship with AI before a lot of other people in digital marketing, because I know it's not labeled as such, and I'm not an analytics expert like you are, you know, in the platform and digging into data all day, but like I've always thought of something like an API or a connector as kind of like a parent to artificial intelligence, if you will. Like it was already starting that conversation, starting that strategy and that system of like, you don't have to touch anything, you have to set it up. Right. And like that is how relatable is that today? Is that the message when you have a client who's like, okay, I know that I have all these spreadsheets and I know I need to get somewhere. Is the overall message like, listen, we're setting you up so like you don't have to do 5,000 clicks. You just have to check it. Right. Is that what's going on the other side for the client? Like what's the work look like for them when you're done? Do they just sit back and look at it? Like what are they thinking and saying as we're going through the process?
Yeah. I mean, the beauty of getting this done is that you would have those sort of high level performance based aspects complete to them. And really what it leaves employees to do is it lets them take a look at the data and try to basically derive any sort of insights and dig deeper into data than they have in the past.
So they're able to spend their time actually analyzing or strategically looking at the data versus worrying about the actual data getting in somewhere.
Exactly. Yes.
I see.
Yeah. And then also not to mention, you know, you get to impress your bosses with a really nice dashboard or something
that. Yeah.
So no complaints there.
Yeah. I've seen some of the dashboards that you and the team set up and they're fantastic. In fact, when I worked on the client side, I had never heard of any client that didn't love the dashboard when it was finished, because it's clean, it's customized.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of a dashboard is, I think of it like you're in an airplane or a car. Like you buy a new car, you set up your dashboard for you. You know, you get in, the seat corrects itself, you know where all your channels are. Like that's your dashboard. So if you don't have one of those, I would highly recommend it too. Harrison, one kind of last question here to, I guess, wrap up this conversation, because there's a lot to unpack here. But generally speaking, if you're listening to this podcast right now, are we in a time with GA4 and where we are with data that everybody should just start moving to a data centralization strategy? Or is there like a trigger? Like if you have an Excel sheet that takes an hour to open, is that your trigger to say, hey, I really need to get a better strategy here? Or are we just in a time now, it's 2024, where this is just how you need to use your data? What would you say to that?
Yeah, and that's an excellent question. And obviously, it's going to depend heavily on like clients and their individual dependencies and things like that. But I think generally speaking, it is always a good idea to centralize that data from GA4 into BigQuery in pretty much all cases. Because here's the thing. The beauty of BigQuery is far more than just a place that you can store your data and do some high-level analysis stuff. BigQuery has a large amount of machine learning capabilities that you can use to predict traffic or things like purchases over time. It gives you the ability to implement cluster analysis so that you can essentially find new audiences that you may have missed within the GA4 interface. And then furthermore, let's say you're a blog and you have that has like dynamic logins or something, and you have a homepage that dynamically changes per user, you could build a very robust recommender system utilizing BigQuery by moving that data from GA4.
Interesting.
So I mean, it's just as a few examples here. So if you're not uploading data into BigQuery, you are missing out on opportunities. And then even if you don't want any of these opportunities, it's always nice to have that data completely backed up to you in case something happens like what happened with Universal, where everything is just going to go kaput. And if you have, and if you haven't backed it up, you might have to pay for a service in order to back it up, just like ours.
I don't think people took me or us or some people didn't take that message very seriously, and I think they kind of woke up recently. I've had a lot of people be like, "Oh, wait, like Universal is like no more." Like, no, yeah, like that's what they're saying. I mean, again, Google holds the keys here, but like, we're telling you, Universal Analytics is not going to be there for you to have at your disposal, and that's a big thing. So I feel like we're in this age now of data transformation and how we use data and what we use it for. And I would say one of the greatest parts about using an agency and using a team like the one that you're on, Harrison, is yes, we're going to be strategic and set you up to your end goal, but it's the support. And I say this all the time. The clients that we work with, they have so much going on and so much on their own plate and so many responsibilities. The digital marketing world literally changes every day. Like, we get to our computers in the morning, we log on, and we have to read the headlines because something could have come out that has totally changed what we do and how we strategize. So one of the most important roles, in my opinion, to having an agency partner with you is the partnership, is to be able to sit back, do your responsibilities, like you said, take more time to analyze the data, and let us worry about how we're going to shift the strategy based on a Google update or based on what works now and didn't work then. That's our job, you know. But if you try and do both, I've seen and heard a lot of clients that it's overwhelming. It doesn't have to be like that. Like,
absolutely not.
So, Harrison, I greatly appreciate you coming on and talking about this topic today. Great to see you in person. I'm excited for the agency events, and let's do another podcast soon.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. I really appreciate it.